Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the 60th edition of the Worcester Reports on CWCP Radio. We are very happy about this. Imagine Lorianne and I dancing around the table. Well, we don't actually do that, but we're still very happy to have got so far with these broadcasts, and we intend to continue for a long time yet. If you know somebody who you think should be given the opportunity for saying their piece on air, then tell us about them, because you may have a wider circle of friends than we do, probably almost certainly do. And we want to cover as many different facets of life in Worcester and the surroundings as we can. This week, my guest is Moses Huleman. I met Moses first around Christmas 2017. He was flat on his back in the Boland Hospice. For some reason, we struck up a chord almost immediately. Maybe it was his smile and his willingness to chat. I felt bad about his situation. He'd been hit by a large truck, and he had no idea how long he was going to be in the state that he was in. He'd already had a number of operations. But last Thursday when I saw him, he said he may be going back home to Taos Rivier, and I suddenly realized this may be my last chance for getting him on air. So I got out my cell phone. That's the best thing I had. I didn't have my regular recording equipment. And here is the result. Moses talking about his condition and encouraging others. And equally important, encouraging the Boland Hospice.
I'm in the Boland Hospice, and beside me is Moses Coleman. I've known Moses for more than a year now, quite a bit more. And I'm going to ask him to tell his story about what brought him into this hospice in the first place, the things that have happened since then. So let's go back to the day that you were out on the street and something bad happened.
It was on the 23rd of January on a Saturday. It was around 3 to 4 o'clock, and then I was traveling from where I was working and then going home. And at that moment, I was badly hurt by a truck. So, and even my family didn't know I was hit by a truck. And then people tell my wife in town I was hit by a truck. And then immediately the paramedics and the police and all this stuff was there. And also my wife was there, and they come and help me. And from Taos River, I was traveled to Worcester by to Mediclinic, and they're doing some observations, and from there straight to the ICU to Tygerberg Hospital, and a few things of me was broken. And
what things were broken?
It is the bladder, the pelvis on the left hand side, and kind of broken ribs, and also my head was a knock on my head. And in Tygerberg, from there, I was traveling from there going back to Grootski Hospital for a big operation on my back. And at my lower back is also operation. So in Tygerberg, I got around 6 operations.
So you had actually broken your back?
Yes. That was the biggest problem. That's why I'm today in a wheelchair. So from there, from Tygerberg, I going to Grootski for doing the back operation, and from there, I was going to a Western Cape Rehab Center in Mitchell's Plain, and from there going back to Easter River Hospital for another operation. So in Tygerberg I got 6 operations, almost all the operations was in theater, and the biggest operation of me was in Krotoski Hospital, my back operation, and then from Western Cape Rea, I was discharged and going home to Toz River, my hometown where I'm staying, and long time ago, and then I was there, and then I coming back again to Worcester Hospital, and from hospital, I coming back to Bolland Hospice again.
When you were allowed to go home, were you flat on your back, or were you able to go in a wheelchair?
From Worcester Hospital, I was going home by the ambulance and going with a wheelchair. And then from Toz River, coming back to Bolland Hospice, from Bolland Hospice, doctor sent me back, because the first time I was in the accident, they put in some kind of iron in the, on the left-hand side, and when I came to hospice, it was around, they coming to hospice for wound care, and then the iron on the left-hand side got a problem, and doctor sent me back to Worcester Hospital, and from, and then Worcester Hospital, I get another 4 operations on my left leg. And it was inside 12 days. I got 3-4 operations inside 12 days. Every third day, I got an operation. But I thank God. And they healed me about all the 12 operations. Like today, I sit in a wheelchair, but it's not about I sitting in a wheelchair. For me, I'm still alive. And I survived all these operations. So I'm here from coming home and going home, and then I'm coming back to hospice, and it's a very nice place, and it's many, they say that it is easy to judge, but it is more difficult to understand. If you didn't was in that situation of me, you can't say for me you feel the pain, because you wasn't really in that situation. Like I say today, I survived 12 operations. And like I said here in Bolland Hospice on the 25th of April, I'm very glad to say these people are doing a very nice job. And in a few weeks' time, I was here, coming here to Bolland Hospice on the 5th of March, and maybe it's a few weeks, then I'm going home to Toz River. But I will never forget what these people is doing for me at this place, because they are very nice and doing an excellent job for me. But there's something I want to say to all these people in Bolland Hospice, that one day, maybe I got money, and I will do something for you, because I don't want to give you money, because I want to show the whole world, I can tell you, I want to sponsor something for you guys, because Bolland Hospice, you are excellent, you do an excellent job. I'm glad to my friend Tony from Canada, I meet here at Bolland Hospice, he's a very nice guy. Even I can pick up my phone and say, Tony, you know, I'm here at Bolland Hospice, but I didn't have airtime. I want to phone my lawyer, I want to phone my wife. I didn't have airtime because I got money here, but there's not a shop here. And then immediately, he can text me airtime. And even I didn't ask him, he bring me something to eat, like fruit, like drink. And he's a very nice people. And also, I met his wife. I was stuck in a hospital, at Worcester Hospital. I stuck there, but and I phoned him again. Long time ago, I phoned him and then I told him to come and help me at hospital. And he came to me at hospital, he take me home and give me some supper. And the next morning, he making me some breakfast and going back to hospital. And I stuck again. And then he told me, wait for me until for 15 minutes. And then he come back again around 11:30. And then he say, he take me home to Toz River. So, like Tony, you are a good friend to me. Doesn't matter the color, because I appreciate everything you do for me for this time.
You know, I'd forgotten about some of these things, so it's nice to be reminded of them. So, when I first met you, you were flat on your back here in the Bolland Hospice, and I don't think you were going anywhere. I don't think you were able to move at all. You remember that time?
Yes.
How long was it? Was it many months before you were able to even get out of bed?
You see, like I say, from the first from the accident, I was more than, I was for 1 year and 3 months. I was in the hospital since Cape Town, travel around like Tigerberg, Grooteski, Yesterday Hospital, like Western Cape Rehab Center. And from there, like the doctors told me, you can lay on your back and for the rest of your life you'll be in bed, but if you didn't pray and you don't have faith, you must be a faith in God and you must believe. As you believe, so it shall be, because you must believe. And from there, going to Western Cape Rea, and that people showed me also that you can be on the bed for the rest of your life. And certain people come to me and say, no, you are not so sick, because I want to give you a wheelchair, and they give me a wheelchair like today, sitting in the wheelchair, but life goes on. And like I say, I was badly hurt, and like I said, sitting with 12 operations, but God healed me. And like I said, people to me like Tony come and pray every day, every Thursday, coming to me, pray for me. And maybe one day, like I said, miracles will happen. And maybe one day you will get up out of this wheelchair and you're going to walk again. And if that miracles will happen, there's only one man you can praise God and you can say, like I said, miracles will happen. But like you, certain people pray for you. And then like I said, maybe it is not today, it's not tomorrow, but one day.
I've been coming here and praying for the patients for a long time, and no one has ever said they don't want prayer. However bad they are hurt or sick, they want to have Jesus in their heart at this time. And he may not necessarily heal them in the normal way. He may not heal their body, but he's working, it's my belief that he's working very hard on their minds and in their spirit so that they can survive this experience, so that they can get through it. And I see this happening here, a lot here. But I agree with you about this hospice, the staff, the doctors, and just the place itself are wonderful. If I had to be sick, this is the place I would want to be if I was sick.
Because, like I said, Boland Hospice, I can recommend any people to come here, because just like I said, me and Tony talk together, and then I say the staff, like the doctor, all the nursing staff and the doctor, they are very nice. And like here, it is not a government place, it's an NGO, but the service you get here is very nice, because even if you didn't get a service you get here, you not even get it in a hospital like even Donis Hospital, which is a government place. But here in Boland Hospice you get everything you want. Maybe let them make an example. You can ask only for, maybe you can ask only for, can give me a glass of water, make me a cup of coffee, or you can give me some food. But you get everything on your time. So that's why I can recommend people to come to Boland Hospice. And if you are sick, you can come here and you will see what is happening here. Because it's a lot of people. They judge this place because people at home, they didn't realize what is happening here, because at home they hold the people, because when they come here, they are too sick to help himself, and that's why some of these people passed away. And that's why other people is very scared to send these people to Boland Hospice, because they say this is a place of death, but it's not true. You mustn't keep the people. You must look at your family's condition, so that you can say, if you see the condition is not very well, and then you can talk to the staff, you can talk to the home-based care sister outside, and then she can send you here, and then you can see by yourself what is happening at this place, is all I can say.
It's very clear to me also that the staff, they don't just seem to work here. They're here because they love the patients. And they really care about the patients. You can see it in their faces. And that's very special for a hospital. Now, let's see if you can give good advice to some people. Imagine that somebody comes in this hospital and they had the same experience that you did. They were hit by a truck and they broke their back. What would you say to that person?
Like I said, if you're coming, I was broken my back, and then I'm coming to this place, and I got a lot of pain. But doctor, when the doctor can write for you, like he can give you pain tablets. Like me, I drink painkillers every eight hourly, like in the morning 6 o'clock, and in the evening like 2 o'clock, and maybe tonight at 10 o'clock. But it's not about the medication you drink. No medication can help. But like I said, there is more powerful stuff than medication, because like I said, every night before I sleep, I took my Bible, I read a little piece, and then I pray to God. And then in the morning, when I wake up, I thank God for opening my eyes, because it's also, like I said, these miracles happen. Because if you didn't, you must pray. Before I sleep, like I said, like before I sleep, I pray, and in the morning, around 5 o'clock, they switch on the light, and then it's wash time, before yeah, bath time, and then I wash, and I took my Bible again, and I read another piece, and then I pray for myself, but not for myself, I pray for me and all the my colleagues in the same in the same room. And all of them, they say, you are talking alone. I say, no, I'm not talking alone to myself. I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking upstairs, because, and when I pray, I'm not praying for me alone. I'm praying for all these people in this world, because, like I said, I can tell everybody. Like I said here today, on the 25th of April, like I said here, and I said here with my friend Tony, with 12 operations. And I'm coming from far, and I'm going through a lot. And it's amazing, but I'm still alive. And there's other people I can say to you. If you are, even you are in a hospital, of what, wherever you are, like I said, I can make a joke to all this stuff, and I say, if you are in a hospital, like me, I make a joke. I'm in a hospital here. Yeah. You mustn't miss your family, you mustn't miss your wife, because if you sit here and you miss your family, and then you will get a lot of stress, and then you forgot about the condition you are in, and end of the day, your condition will be down, and doctor will ask what is happening to you, but you didn't talk. So like I said, if you are here, you must cheer yourself up, talk to people, and make jokes and laughing, and you forget for some stuff that happened outside. So like I said to people, if you are in a hospital, wherever you are, please, it is difficult to say for me, with all of people are not the same, because I said, if you are here, you take your phone, and if you miss your wife, or if you miss your kids, you can talk to them on the phone, but if you're laying on the bed, and then your mind is at home, so please, make yourself happy in hospital, so that there's not a lot of stress on your mind, because stress will make you sick. At the end of the day, your condition will be worse and worse, and at the end of the day, you will be sick from the beginning. But I don't want to, I can recommend people to Bulan Hospice to say, to come here to Bulan Hospice. And I can say to everyone, it's a very nice place. Wherever you are, if you got sick, but you mustn't get sick at home. And end of the day, that's why the people say, Bulan Hospice, they judge this place, because they say this place is the place of death, but I can tell you it is not true, because it's a very nice place, staff is very nice, you get everything you want on time, your tablets, your food, bath time, everything is on time. So please guys, don't judge this place. You can't judge this place, because if you wasn't here to see what is happening here. That is all I can say to people.
Thank you, Moses. It's always been good to talk with you, and I'm looking forward to broadcasting this to the world, and you've made a fine testimony, and I thank you, and I thank you very much for your friendship. It means a lot to me.
Oh, thank you, Tony, but like I said, you told me the last time you're going back to Canada, and then you will be there for 6 months, for 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
For 6 weeks, and then you're coming back on July, but
yeah.
Please, when you're coming back, don't forget Bulan Hospice, because you inspire those people here. And if you are the people you are seeing, Tony, you know, yeah, these guys come to pray for us. And if you pray for us, you can see like my friend Niklas also. When he asked me the last time, when you are not coming, he asked me, you got this number, please you must phone him and ask him when he come to, oh, not for a visit, because come and pray for us. So thank you, Tony, a lot. So end of the day, when you're coming back from Canada, please come back to Bolan Hospice and can pray for these people. And if I say to you the last time, like you told me, it's not easy for your wife to come with you. It will be very nice for me if you and your wife, if it is possible for her to come with you, and you can meet people together and you can pray for all of these people, you and your wife together. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, I hear the message. Thank you, Moses.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God, learning how to hear God's voice, part 2. My name is Laurianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. We discovered that when we seek God in the secret place, we do this from a place of intimacy. The secret place, or our prayer closet, is known as our special place we go and pray. Your prayer closet can be an actual small place, like a cabin in the woods or in the desert. It can be in a quiet room in your home. It can even be as simple as showing others that you're having God time, so not to disturb you. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, did this by lifting her kitchen apron over her face so that her 10 children would be quiet for a while. It is in intimacy that we hear God's voice. Often the Holy Spirit whispers to our heart. The closer you get to Him, the softer His voice appears to be. This is normal, so don't think that you've missed it. God just wants to draw your ear even closer to Him. In John 3, verse 10, Jesus says that His sheep hear His voice. We are His sheep. We need to stop and listen. When you do, you'll be surprised by His answer. He loves to speak to us. Matthias van der Steen shared that when you are in outreach to the poor, you also hear the voice of God clearly. This may be because His heart is with the poor and downtrodden. When we are close to God's heart, we share His intimacy in a much deeper way than when we speak to Him in our own comfort. Jesus became one of us and left heaven to rescue us. He ultimately stepped out towards us. When we do likewise, we are identifying with Jesus in yet another way. God has a heart for the broken. Mark Verkler also shares about the importance of learning to tune into the spontaneous thought flow that comes from the Holy Spirit. After you quiet yourself down, you tune in and focus entirely on Jesus. What comes next is a two-way conversation. But it's important to set aside the desires in your heart that threaten to consume you. If you don't do this, you won't hear God clearly. You'll get a distorted word that is a mix of your desire and what you think is God. You need to set these things aside and allow God to whisper to your heart about who He really is. And so it's about a personal encounter with Him that continues as you press in for more. I've spoken many times about hearing God's voice with our inner ears and seeing His impressions and pictures with our inner eyes. It's much like the process of being inspired to write a beautiful poem or an artist's creative idea. Many creatives get their ideas from God, because their spiritual antenna is tuned that way. Havilah Cunnington at Bethel Church teaches that there are four different prophetic personalities. There are hearers, seers, knowers, and feelers. If you look at the different Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophetic people, they all have different ways of hearing God.
Of course they do. They all think and feel differently. While each have small differences, these four are the strongest, most common types of prophetic people. Cunnington led a class on the four prophetic personalities and had four leaders in those styles share with the audience. Lauren shared that she dominantly hears Holy Spirit's voice. She hears through words, although these words are not outwardly audible. She shared that she also does a lot of journaling. She likes to have conversations with God through her journal by writing out her questions. She, in return, receives spontaneous words in her thoughts. I do something similar in my journal, where I italicize the words that I hear from the Holy Spirit. Lauren shared that it took 2 years to get into the rhythm of hearing God in this way. Yet through perseverance and a focus on her relationship with God, she has been given some of the most profound words she's ever received. She shared of one such example when she journaled and asked God if he had a heads up about anything she should prepare for. She and her husband had lived in their little house for over a year as newlyweds. She received a word very quickly that she was not going to be living there for very much longer. This was despite the couple re-signing another year's lease on the house. However, the owner approached them a few weeks later and said that he would like to sell the home. So she went back to her journal, and there was her recollection of the heads up from God. I received a similar heads up when I was about to be let go from my radio job in British Columbia. I didn't heed those words, but I did hear them, not once, but twice. Sometimes if you have this gift, it can be difficult when you don't hear God in that way. This happened with me during when I went through my first desert experience in seminary. God was attuning me to hear in other ways, and I felt like I had been abandoned. I didn't get words as much, and I didn't get pictures either, but God was still there, accessible by prayer, scripture, and worship. He still spoke through other Christians, common sense, and other ways, like in my studies. It's important to be open to the many ways God speaks to us. It really is a trust issue that often involves waiting. The next leader who shared was Jared Noosh. He senses Holy Spirit speaking by inner knowing. He shared that although he heard from God, it wasn't by hearing words, seeing pictures, or by feeling. He just knows. Or as he says, you know in your knower. This is a deeply internal intuition of being led by God. He says it's a trust thing. He would share with his wife about a leading and say, I think we're just supposed to do this. His wife hears words and sees pictures, so they encourage each other in how God is leading them as a couple. God actually confirms what he says through community for safety. He uses this gift to hear the voice of God when he is interacting with ministry students. He would have an idea come into his head that he is supposed to ask a specific question. This is something that comes into his mind for the first time. It's not something that he's decided to implement beforehand, even though the Holy Spirit does use our trained human abilities. A knower gets many impressions, and then is led to trust and follow. Then Ben shared, as the seer, the person seeing pictures and impressions. He would joke that he and his wife would pack up and go somewhere because he saw where they were going. In this case, he left Australia to come to Northern California to minister at Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. It took a few years for his wife to catch up to him, casting a vision for years ahead. This also sounds like when Tony caught up with me in going to Harvest School and becoming Iris missionaries. I cast the vision and had to wait until the right time. Ben's wife is a knower, so when she knew where they were to go, she caught up to Ben's vision and a bigger picture of the future. Ben shared that the best way to describe how God speaks to him is like he puts a pair of glasses on. This is now like the lens in which everything else in life is seen through this perception. This includes words, information, scripture, interactions with people, and life. People would give ordinary advice, and he'd say, that's great, but I'm seeing through these lenses, I know exactly where I'm going, and I'm not changing direction. When God shows Ben something and he gets a prophetic word from someone emailed to him, those black and white words in the email become a 3D picture. He also shared that when the Holy Spirit gives him a simple picture, and he shares and pursues it, he's given more pictures or a movie that follows. Seers are also given insight. I often rely on this in teaching young children. While it's exciting to get these glimpses of what's ahead, you also have to do life with people and everyday ministry in the present. If you're a seer, it's important to have mentors covering you as you're preparing for what's in the future. He says you need to be released to dream, but to dream in your season and your time. When you submit your dreams to leadership and are given loving guidance, this also grows trust and stability deeper in you. While we are talking about different ways of hearing God's voice, the core of the message is that God is growing identity in you. He is growing you deeper. And this is done in relationship with Him and with others. Mentors help keep you on track and grounded. Faith can be a component in following the dreams, visions, and impressions that are given to a seer. When you're receiving the pictures, it seems like this is a now thing, while often the unfolding of what's to come happens in process. Timing is a big issue. I've received two words that were combinations of pictures and words recently. These were concerning my coming healing. Both were received in South Africa, although I've received words before this time as well. Every once in a while, I get discouraged when this hasn't yet happened. I've been given daily strength to persevere until this time comes. Just recently, our Afrikaans pastor asked people to come to the altar who had unfulfilled dreams. He said that God's timing will come to us as a surprise, and in that moment, we would receive. When he said that, it touched my heart. I decided to return to my seat since I could only stand so long. As I was on my way there, I was stopped by Penelope, a lady on the ministry team. She asked me if I had prayer yet, and I said no, although my husband had prayed for me. She encouraged me and told me that she sensed that my surprise was to come, but that God was sure to bring it. He wanted to say to me, through her, that He would complete what He started in me. He would be faithful. In the meantime, I am invited to lean on God for daily strength. Like Habakkuk 3, verse 19, God would give me strength to endure, like hind legs are strengthened to walk on a mountain. When you get pictures like this, it feels risky to share them. This is why seers often are so relieved when the people they are speaking into respond in a positive way. In my case, Penelope's words confirmed to me what I already knew deep in my heart. They were a lovely reminder that I knew was true. As for risk, just look at how Sean Bowles ministers. He sees names, phone numbers, and all kinds of details, and after he connects with that person, he speaks life into their situations. His words are like a knock to the door of their hearts. When they open the door, then Jesus can minister life, hope, and blessing through Sean to them. Often seers can get impressions that they see right over what is physically happening around them. My former employer, Prophet Darren Canning, gets this all the time. He would see something intriguing and get an imprint over it, like an extra dimension. Earlier, I shared that Ben gets this, as he's given a pair of glasses to see in a new way. I've had this too. It's like something drops over my eyes and everything around me is put in slow motion. I perceive something, or I'm given an insight, and I share. I've also seen images superimposed over people. Often, it's the face of Jesus. This makes sense since Jesus shared in Matthew 25 that when you serve the least of these, we serve Him. It also makes sense when we see Jesus in other Christians, by perceiving and hearing. It's a beautiful experience when it happens. Abby is a feeler. She shared of times when she would feel other people's pain and difficulties as if they were her own. She said that it's important to learn about who you are and who you are not. Often, when she would feel what's going on in the atmosphere, she would know that was because God had put her in that position to bring the opposite. So if she felt hopelessness that wasn't hers, she would bring hope. Abby shared that many times her feeler was actually like Jared's knower. She also says it's important to know who she is, since she picks up other people's feelings. That must be really confusing. Since she knows how she thinks and feels, she can discern when she is overwhelmed by completely different feelings. Abby shares that your heart and mind are meant to be a team or buddies. We hear God intellectually and through hearing. We need both systems to be working in order to be healthy and balanced. It's important to have people around you who really know you and love you. You can be honest with them. It's important to have the safety net. So in each of these predominant ways of experiencing God through hearing, knowing, seeing, and feeling, we encounter Him. You may be more of one personality than another, or perhaps you're a mix of more than one. I'm not sure that I could handle the feeling thing, but I've had that on occasion. I'm much more of a seer, but I'm balanced by words and knowing. Is one better than another? No, by no means. They're all good. They're just different ways of expressing God's message. All are meant to point to Him. Have you experienced any of these ways of hearing God's voice? If you haven't yet, don't fear. Holy Spirit still speaks through Scripture, other ways of encounter, soft whispers to your heart, common sense, Christian community, and more. Seek Him. Ask Him to open your eyes and ears to hear Him. Sometimes your personality is more suited to some ways rather than others. Since I'm an artist, I see pictures. Tony's a thinker, and he gets spontaneous thoughts and knowing. Our friend Tanya is a feeler and a knower, and these people are excellent prayer warriors. But again, hearing God's voice comes with spending time in relationship with Him. So book yourself some quiet time as a date with God. He won't disappoint you. Even if you're in the silence waiting for Him, He speaks volumes through the silence, not to your head, but to your heart. The key is patience and persistence. And remember, God wants you to find Him. Lord, I ask you to help us learn the sound of your voice, however you want to speak. Open our eyes and ears to see you. Help us to recognize your thumbprint over nature, situations, and especially Scripture. Give us dreams and visions, words, pictures, and more. We sit before you like young Samuel when he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Thank you that you draw us into relationship and you father us in a deep, loving way. Touch the hearts of all who are listening as you draw them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Copples Western Cape Radio.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open my
Open
eyes.
The eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Our prayer, God.
I want to see you.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you.
I want to see you, oh Lord, I want to see you.
Paul Baloche with a live version of his famous song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. And if you keep on listening, you will hear an explanation of that particular phrase. Our girls love to sing. They love to sing that song. By our girls, I mean the teenage leaders that we have up to our house every Saturday afternoon. And we always include a time of singing praise songs. One of these times, I left the Morants just recording everything, and I didn't sort of set up for the levels or anything like that, but you're about to hear the result of that almost uncut, because it's an indication of the enthusiasm that our teenage evangelists in Avian Park bring to the vital work that they do, telling younger children about Jesus. After this, it will be the end of the show. And we hope you look forward to a wonderful week ahead. Come back and join us at the end of that week. We'll be here waiting for you. And this was our 60th program in this series. Onward and upward. Tony Koppel and Laurie Ann signing off.
I like the way you clap your hands. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Sing our praise. on Sunday to a special sermon by probably the most well-known church leader in Ottawa. And he did a whole sermon, and he included the words, "Open the eyes of my heart," 10 times. He wasn't talking about this song. He was talking about the eyes of my heart. The eyes of my heart are ways that I can see with help from the Holy Spirit. So things I can see then that I can't see through my regular eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.